Hello, everybody. So this week we actually haven't even got any notes, which is probably not the best start to a podcast. But only reason being is it's been a bit of a crazy week, and yeah,
we still haven't got a light fitting either. We're still doing this in the
room.
Dark.
Yeah, this room is particularly dark. So
no notes,
a work in progress.
No light.
No.
Could be interesting.
Yeah. So.
Whirlwind week.
Whirlwind week. Yeah. What's your thoughts?
I'm pleased to see we got somebody of the caliber of Steven Gerrard.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was worrying when you get rid of somebody like Dean Smith, who's a fan, galvanised the club, and you think, okay, the board acted, like we said before, probably to save Dean Smith any sort of like stick, which would have been horrible to see.
Yeah, none of us wanted
that.
He
didn't deserve that because he's took us from where we were to, you know, where we are at the moment, but in a far better place than when he took over. So can only thank him for that. And then you think, oh, what do we do now? Who's going to come in and be able to take us forward? And you'd like to think with his credentials, Steven Gerrard is the best candidate that was out there we were likely to attract, I would have thought.
I think everybody this past sort of 7 to 10 days has been watching that Maker's Dream on Amazon.
Yeah, I certainly watched it myself.
There was the thing on YouTube, that other, I can't remember what it's called now, with Jake Humphries. That was really good as well. It's a podcast that he does.
Oh, right.
And he had Steven Gerrard on there, and he was talking all about his time at Rangers, like how, what it was like when he first went in, what did he say to the players, what sort of coach was he. It was really, really good. High Performance Podcast, that's what it's called. That's really good as well.
You know, I saw something today about I think it might have been on TalkSport. He was asked something in the press conference about, are you going to send Villa out to play like you did at Glasgow Rangers? And he was like, well, I'm not going to tell you tactically how I'm going to set Aston Villa to be on Saturday. But, you know, you'd like to think he's had enough time to get in there. And I've seen some of the sort of like training videos.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's because he's obviously younger, I think he's probably more able to
get
involved in the sessions more than an older manager would.
Yeah.
So I think that the players may respond to that a little bit more. So
yeah, it's like he's getting stuck in himself. You always respond well to a manager, don't you, that has done it at that sort of level as well.
I think any manager in anything you do, your workers will, staff will be more
inclined
to work hard under somebody who's actually been at the coalface themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, he's done it from through all levels, hasn't he? So
yeah. And that Amazon Prime documentary, which we're not sponsoring it, we're not plugging it,
not at all.
It really did show how much he like dealt with throughout his career, and how much he carried
overwhelming sort of like you get his determination from that, don't you?
Yeah.
Very determined character. I think he's determined to not fail. That is what comes from it.
Doesn't want to let people down, does he? I think that's his whole ethos. It's like, I want to perform at my very, very best. I don't want to let anyone down.
I think the same from anyone that works under him. So he looks like the best candidate we could have been hoping to get.
Because there was a little rumour as well that Roberto Martinez actually turned us down. And I was like,
Martinez
did
nothing. He did nothing until he took over the best team in the world. He had the best players in Belgium. And now they're starting to, I think Belgium was going over that peak now, you know what I mean? They had their time, I think. And the other night when Wales held them to a point, it was not a surprise.
No.
I don't think anyone in the football world was surprised that Wales held them to a point. And that's not taking nothing away from Wales. They're a really good side. I just think Martinez had a group of players at international level that he couldn't fail with.
Mm-hmm.
But at club level, he never pulled up any trees at club level.
No.
He had no affiliation. I know Steven Gerrard hasn't, up until now, any great affiliation with Villa, but Martinez certainly didn't.
He scored some decent goals against Villa.
If you're asking me who I'd have chose out of the two, if you'd have said, right, you've got a choice of Martinez or Gerrard, I'd have took Gerrard every single day. And I think out of all the candidates that were bandied about, he was the one.
The standout.
The standout, yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing is as well, we've all said it for months and months that our midfield, they need something, whether it's coaching, whether it's development. Well,
if it's Steven Gerrard, it'd be great.
So Steven Gerrard's a perfect fit for that, isn't it? Because you've got players like your Ramses. I don't know if we're ever going to see Morgan Sanson ever in a Villa shirt, but players like that, they are working under a coach that's one of the best midfielders the Premier League's ever seen.
Yeah, arguably, yeah. He's definitely up there with like the Vieiras and that, isn't he? So, you can't argue with that.
And leadership as well. Like,
I think it's the leadership qualities that he'll bring. And the backroom staff that he's bringing with him as well. You know, Gary McAllister knows the club. He knows the setup and all that lot there, so that's sort of a good thing. And then they left some of the backroom staff in situ, which I think is a good thing as well. There's a lot of continuity within the club there. They haven't gone in and wholesale got rid of everyone. They may in time. It may be that
it might not be the right fit.
Might not fit. Steven Gerrard might not get on with some of the backroom staff and vice versa, but at the moment, there's a little bit of continuity. Gary McAllister knows the club. I think from what we glean from what Steven Gerrard's intimated in his interviews is how impressed he is with the facilities at Villa.
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't see that from the outside. And I think when he's gone to the training ground in Ballymore Heath, he's been impressed. Because I can only think Glasgow Rangers facilities wouldn't be as good as the Villa. I mean,
they're up there now, aren't they?
They should be, yeah.
Villa, I think Leicester have got very good facilities as well. Yeah, obviously
Man City and your elite top teams, but we're well up there.
Yeah,
we are
well up there. Did you see the interview that he gave? And I can't remember which one it was, where he said something like he was approached and he said, I got a message or I got a phone call on the Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I thought, right, so if that was the Wednesday and then Dean Smith got sacked on the Sunday.
Yeah.
They definitely... They've been making inquiries for a little while, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean,
we'd be naive to think that they weren't because it all happened so quickly.
I think any director of football or CEO would look at any manager. If you've lost your third game on the trot, they're not going to wait until the fifth and sixth game to start thinking about candidates should it happen, because it would be a miss of them to go, oh, we didn't really give it a thought until we lost our fifth or sixth game. Who we were going to go for?
Yeah, and it's business.
They'd have been looking at candidates, but we talked about it in the last podcast about the other candidates like Nuno Espirito Santos.
No, not for me. We kind of made it quite clear, didn't we, that out of the candidates that, like you said before, that we were given,
it might not work. It's not a given, is it? But let's get like behind the guy. It's not like the board haven't got the best candidate that we could have got. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you tried the best candidate out there, and why wouldn't you? I mean, Perslow, he's well known to Steven Gerrard. They know each other from the time at Liverpool when he was there with the youth team. So it's kind of a bit more... synergy than what it would have been if it had just gone for a Nuno Espirito Santo. It was just complete random.
Yeah,
we've had these people come into Villa who have just got no affinity whatsoever, no connections. At least we have got connections. Gary McAllister's been at the club. Steven Gerrard knows Perslow. And the other big thing about Steven Gerrard, he's not long been away from the Premier League.
I know.
This is something else.
He knows what it requires,
doesn't
he?
Said this, hasn't he? How he knows what it's required to win or at least get points in the Premier League.
Well, that's the main thing. We need points.
Yeah.
The situation we're in at the moment is precarious.
It's precarious.
It's not like... panic stations.
No, not at all. Because, funnily enough, just in interviews today with Dean Smith... at Norwich, it's like, I've been listening to it, and it's like they're only 5 points from safety themselves, Norwich. So it's not like at this moment in time anyone is relegated. Yeah, Norwich look on paper the worst team in the Premier League, the goals against, and they don't look great. But if they string another couple of results together, they pull themselves out of it and drag some other clubs in there.
And we know that Dean Smith is capable of doing that with teams. So
yeah.
I do hope, not that we want to go on about Dean Smith, but it's still, I would say for me, it's still quite, not raw, that sounds really dramatic, but it's kind of like seeing him with a Norwich shirt.
The ideal situation, we've talked about it earlier, wasn't it, is Villa and Norwich both stay up.
Yeah.
And Newcastle, Burnley and Watford or Brentford just drop out of the league again.
I mean, no offence to anyone you know that likes those clubs, but you wouldn't be listening to this anyway if you did. But yeah,
no, I kind of like it makes Brentford no difference because Brentford to me. Are like the Dean Smith started that Brentford side, and Francis took them on. So if one of those didn't Watford,
I have absolutely no feelings towards Watford.
I've got a very good friend, Steve Merrill, who's a Watford supporter. But that apart, I've no affinity with Watford or anything. It would just be ideal if we saw Norwich and Villa stay up and then fight another season, and we get to see Dean Smith at Villa Park more. And you know, I'm sure he wishes the Villa all the best. He's a Villa fan, all said and done. And
yeah, I was a bit sort of miffed, really, when I saw Sky Sports say to Dean Smith in his like unveiling press conference, it was like, you know, what do you make of Gerrard going into Villa? It's like, did you need to ask?
Yeah,
like, very, and he handled it brilliantly because it's Dean Smith. But yeah. I was just like, really? Do you need to go there? And it was just very, I don't know, just not for me. I just didn't want to really hear it. But he was like, you know, fair play to him. That's the direction they've gone in, and I hope he does well, but not at our expense.
So now there's no international breaks now. Is it March?
4 months.
Yeah, so they literally have got, hopefully we can settle down, pick a settled side and play with his stamp on that side. Like, they have an identity, a way of playing that the players are comfortable in playing.
Yeah.
Because I think through no fault of Dean Smith this season, it's been stop, start. And a lot of that's down to this international break all the time as well.
Yeah.
If you're successful, as you like to call yourselves, with players going away on international duty, I mean, we've got six or seven each time.
Yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? Which is great. Like, we all wanted it.
It's great because that's where success is. But I think that it suits the big, big clubs, like the Manchester United, Man City and Chelsea, because they can fill in with some of their second-string players if one or two get a knock while they're away or they're a little bit fatigued. We can't. If Emi Buendia and Emi Martinez and Douglas Luiz come back from America, so South America.
Yeah.
They may be a really bit fatigued, but we've got no options.
Our second choice keeper, and we've said it before, is a long way away from Martinez's quality, isn't
he? Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Which isn't his fault. Like, we just haven't found anyone, or Jed Steer maybe hasn't been developed in that way. I don't know, but this is something that we have to sort.
That's the reality of Villa, isn't it? We haven't got two 11s like all the big clubs have. Yeah. So that's affecting us. But with some clubs like let's pick, say, West Ham are having a really good season. They might only have six or seven internationals away. I don't think they've got too many South Americans and all that lot playing in games or Africans. So a lot, they've got Declan Rice, Suchek, and they've got a few European players that all go away each time.
Did Declan Rice even play the other night? Did he?
No, he didn't, no. I think he got a throat infection or something like that.
I mean, it was the most pointless game of football anyway.
It's a game where as Declan Rice, you'd go, my throat's a little bit sore.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
There's no point in showing up against this bunch of painters and decorators.
I like Declan Rice. Like West Ham, and I've got no problems with that. What I will say, they've been quite fortunate. They've had no injuries, and I think that's where we've been a little bit unfortunate.
That
we've had a lot of injuries, a lot of players away international, and we haven't really settled down. Now, Steven Gerrard now has got 4 months to get his point across, his way of playing, with a group of players that shouldn't be going anywhere. Mm. And like you said, that the people in the building now are the people we've got until January. Now, whether that means that he'll be looking to add players in January or he will want to work with what he's got, I don't know.
Only time will tell with stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's exciting, isn't it? Because on Saturday, we don't know who he's going to pick.
Well, me, you and Greg, we agree that we need a really strong, commanding central midfielder who just protects the back four.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Who just destroys it.
Yeah.
And that's where we're missing at the moment.
Someone that does the ugly side of football, really. Yeah.
Well, we need a Declan Rice or Calvin Phillips. We need that type of midfielder who just breaks up play and gets us back on the front foot. And we haven't got that at the moment. We sort of like, We've got players that can get to the heights of 7 out of 10, but we never have any 8, 9s out of 10 in that position.
No.
And we haven't for a while, have we? We've never had It's been a long time since
we've trying to remember the last defensive midfielder of that ilk that I can.
Fabian Delph, when he was playing
before he went.
Well, yeah, definitely before he went. Yeah, but Fabian Delph probably.
Yeah,
was probably the last one that was playing to that 9 out of 10. Hence the move.
That's true.
And funny, the England call up.
Yeah, that is true. That does happen to Villa a lot.
So that's a big position I think we need to find somebody for in January.
Whether he's got someone in mind, Gerrard, as well. Because
it's a position that he took himself. So
yeah, he's going to know what that takes. The
qualities that takes.
Or whether he can develop a player we've already got. Like Douglas Luiz isn't far away, is he? But he still, in my opinion, he still needs work.
Well, we were having this discussion earlier. What player is Morgan Sanson on? We don't know.
Oh, I mean,
we still don't know. I mean, you ask any Villa fan and they'll go, I just don't know.
Well, I'm going to get onto this later on, but obviously, like, Football Manager has taken over my life this week because Greg's been away.
You're showing me it,
so I've been putting a serious shift in on that. One of the players that I can 100% rely on Football Manager is Morgan Sanson. But I still don't, even on that game, I don't know what sort of player he is. He never lets me down. He's Mr. Consistent. But, I mean, he was in Disneyland last I saw.
Yeah.
Not a clue.
This is not on your... on your computer. This is in real life.
This was on Instagram.
Right. Okay.
So I couldn't tell you. He's going to have to sort whatever it is out. I don't know whether Dean Smith didn't like him or whether he's just not a good fit for the club.
Well,
he's got to impress Stephen Gerrard.
Well, here you go now. It's a clean slate, isn't it?
For every player, everyone had
a bit of a gripe because they weren't getting picked. Let's say, I don't know if Al Ghazi was happy because he wasn't figuring in games, was he? But it's a clean slate for him again. He might suddenly be the player that he was at the start of the season again. Gerrard might throw him in because he's like, I need somebody working hard on that side of the pitch. And he goes and does the job he's there to do.
From what I've read, though, about the way Gerrard is, his management style is that if a player is not performing, he makes it very clear. Whereas Dean Smith, I think, and this is not me slagging off Dean Smith because I'm massively respectful. I'm still good. He's gone. But I think he was more of a an arm around the shoulder. Come on, you can do better than that.
Yeah.
And we have lacked that nastier edge.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Gerrard was never a nasty player, but he was certainly aggressive.
The only thing is we're short on replacements at the moment, aren't we?
And
we haven't got Trez is, it's nice to see Trez on the
he's on the grass now, isn't
on
he?
The grass and training, but he's weeks away, like weeks and weeks away from it. And Traore, just keeps getting niggly injuries. So there's nobody really like pushing for them places there. You know what I mean? So
Traore's just not consistent enough.
Let's say Al Ghazi's in the side and he's having a bit of a mare and he hooks him, who do we bring on for him? That's the problem. On the wings,
yeah. Our depth is
on the wings
not ideal.
Depth. We're short on the wings, aren't we?
Yeah.
In front of Cash and Target, we haven't got a lot of cover there.
No, and then I think that's where Matt Target has struggled as well because he's not got that player in front of him that he had last season where he can.
We just give him the ball and he went.
Can give him the He's not had that.
No.
And I think Matt Target, I think that's why he doesn't look
the same.
We don't
have enough of Leon Bailey yet to know where...
I just want to see him play a string of games.
Apparently Leon Bailey said himself he can play left, right and centre forward, but we haven't seen enough of him to see which position he could take up. He's got another 2 weeks under his belt of fitness. But it's the tactical side I'm a bit worried about at the moment. He doesn't seem
to track him back.
Grasp how... I don't think it's just Villa, how sides play in the Premier League. If you're a winger, you don't just play on the wing and just let that be... You don't track back. You've got
to
track back.
No, but then I remember when Trez and Al Ghazi in their first couple of seasons or even first 6 months... And we used to say the same. And then I think eventually the message gets across, doesn't it?
I think
they learn the
Gerrard,
tempo of the league. I think Gerrard will... He'll obviously see that Bailey's got talent.
Yeah.
But he'll be saying, it's not just about that. You can't just come in here and try a few back hills and...
There's going to be games where his talent's going to be able to be... He's going to be a flair player for us. But there's games where he's going to have to tuck in,
I think at the minute, the whole team's going to have to tuck in. Do you know what I mean? To get
one Flair player should be Emi Buendia, though. That's the player we should be getting on the ball. And we haven't been able to do that because I don't think we've had everyone else playing to the heights.
Well, this is where it kind of leads us on to like how we line up Saturday. How do we fit all these players into one team?
I wouldn't know how he lined up with Dean Smith on Saturday, and that's no disrespect to Dean Smith. I wouldn't know because it's been such a disjointed start. How would we have lined up under Dean Smith? Do you know?
No, it was very much a case of, well, who's fit?
Yeah, there's a chance, isn't it, Ings is fit?
Yeah, it sounds likely from what I've read,
So what do you do then again with Ings and Watkins? Do we play Watkins out wide, which we've talked about?
I think we're going to have to.
Well, I think Ollie will get the ball, as it is at the moment, more if he played out wide and he's getting it through the middle.
Because we seem to be playing the ball over the top.
And Ings holds it up really well in the middle. But Buendia needs to be playing him. Well, McGinn or Buendia need to be playing closer to Ings, which is where we're missing that really commanding central midfielder where they're comfortable to just go forward. McGinn or...
Do you think that since...
McGinn's not getting forward for this Villa, anything
say,
like
he
used to.
Do you think that Dean Smith has played McGinn as a more defensive
slightly
player
covering
because
Douglas
he's covering the fact that we haven't actually got a defensive midfielder?
Yeah.
And actually, I think Steven Gerrard will come in and look at John McGinn and say, you've got one of the best like attacking talents.
Yeah.
But you're not utilising him.
As well.
But I'm kind of the feeling now, I haven't got a problem with Buendia, but he's very lightweight. That's not a problem. But it's just, like you just said, in some games, you require a bit of flair.
Yeah.
And in other games, you need a bunch of players to go, this is your job, stick to it, don't deviate from it.
I think that's what Gerrard will do, though. I think it will be very much, this is your role. They'll have very defined roles. I think you'll see
maybe that's not
a style of play.
Yeah.
And I think it's been too fluid, if you like, half jobs. No disrespect again. I think it's because of the playing staff that we've had available.
A lot of injuries. Pre-season was a shambles.
If we just get a fit side for four or five games, I think the results will follow.
Consistency,
we've got some tough games. I mean, Palace away
is boring,
not,
but it's key, isn't it? Consistency is absolutely everything.
No game in the Premier League is easy. Brighton won't be easy.
No.
It's a game that we look at and go, oh, Brighton could easily come and turn us over.
Yeah.
But I'd hope that it's the other way around. And then
the atmosphere's going to be very good, isn't it, Saturday?
It will raise
really
the whole club.
Excited.
If we got 3 points against Brighton, the whole thing will look totally different.
Yeah.
Because we can go to Palace and give them a game, whereas if we lose to Brighton, and Palace is a tough place to go then. But it could be a place we go and get a point at Palace as well. Two tough games after that. You expect on paper not to get anything, but you'd be buoyed then, wouldn't you? If we got 3 points against Brighton, a point at a buoyant Palace, and then we go and, you know, do you? I mean, it was only six weeks ago, we took United, you know.
It's mad because I saw a tweet the other day and it was like, since the United game, that day we were all absolutely buzzing. It was like life couldn't be any better. We've finally beat Man United. Just a few weeks later, Dean Smith has gone. He's now at Norwich. We've got Gerrard. It's like...
But that is how quick it turns
it
around.
It does turn around so quickly. But likewise, like you said, you've got Norwich and Villa who are in not great positions, but they only need a few couple of wins.
Yeah.
And you build a bit of momentum and it can change. And other teams can be dragged down.
Well, there are teams already, aren't there, now that have started really well, that are starting to drop down. I mean, Leicester have not been having a great time of it.
No, I'm not really sure what's going on at Leicester.
No, and then you've got Brentford that are in a little bit free fall. There are other sides that will get pulled into it, I'm sure. I don't think anyone's going to be cut off. It looked like it for a while with Norwich, but that win at Brentford has A, dropped Brentford in it, and then give people that little bit of nagging doubt that Norwich are a done job. I don't know. Going back to Brighton game, the lineup, the back five you can name, I think.
I don't see any change there at all.
I think, you know, you're going to, if Douglas Luiz is fit, which is still, he's doubtful, isn't he, again?
Well, he's been all over Instagram.
So it's probably Nakamba and McGinn. Not ideal.
Nakamba just, we need a better option than the cover.
We don't know how fit Bailey is.
No.
There's a lot of question marks, and we don't know what Steven Gerrard's seen in training, whether he likes what he's seen.
I am all for playing Jacob Ramsey in whatever situation at Villa. I've just seen enough of him to think he needs to be part of our plans.
Yeah, but is he going to fit in if... Is he strong enough to hold centre midfield, though?
I just think...
He's not a defensive midfielder, is he?
He's not, no.
He's too good on the ball getting forward.
He is
forward.
Too good on the ball, but...
Is that we really do need somebody who just stands in the centre.
But I just think Gerrard is going to look at a player like... And Chukwuemeka, both of them, and think they are like rough diamonds that
oh,
I
yeah.
can just...
Oh, yeah. Chukwuemeka's not... He's not got the... stature at the moment, has he? He'll bulk up.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
he'll.
It's his age.
What is
isn't
he?
It?
18, 17.
He's 18, but you know, give him a couple of seasons, and he's got the stature to be that player we're looking for, to just stand in centre midfield. He's a tall lad, isn't he? He's got the ability. We just need to find somebody quite soon, really. To
I hope that's January's objective.
Yeah, and we need cover on the wings as well.
Yeah,
definitely.
Left
wing's a problem now, isn't it?
Yeah, massively. It's Ashley Young that steps in, isn't it?
And yeah,
he's what, 36, 37?
Yeah, and he can't do what we should expect of a winger down that side.
I know
side.
Him and Gerrard obviously have a good relationship as well, don't they? Played together for England. I'm not saying that that's a problem, but what I'm just saying is if you're asking these players to be consistent week in, week out, and at a high tempo every week. Ashley Young's not going to cut it for you,
no,
is he?
No, I think Ollie would be a good option, actually. They play sort of left wing for us. And
yeah, I agree.
Coming off the wing, a bit like Thierry Henry, he's got pace, he reads it well. That ball sometimes that Mings has been having to play might come into, because he's on left side as well, down to there, and then Matty Target backing up like he used to with Jack. You know, that we might get some joy with that because we need to get Ings in.
Ings and Watkins in the same team.
We do need them in the team. It's how we get them in the team. But these are all these little bits we need to get because McGinn needs to be playing closer to
them.
Ings, or Buendia needs to be closer to Ings. And is Bailey fit enough to play right wing for the whole game?
Yeah, because could Buendia... Well, this really is like my conundrum I've had all week. I feel like I don't know if I'm talking about real life or my game anymore, but can you then put Buendia out on the right wing? I don't know.
He started out on the right wing in pre-season, didn't he? He had quite a good understanding with Matty Cash, but he looks to me like he would suit the central role better in behind Ings, but you can't take McGinn out the side. And McGinn holds such a threat when he plays higher at the pitch.
It really is. It's really difficult getting these players. It's like when we signed them, it was like, great, we've got Bailey. Yes, we've got Buendia. But then it's like, but how are we going to play them all? And I didn't even really register at the time. I was kind of like, yeah, it'll be fine. And we've got Danny Ings. Yeah, great. We've got a proven goal scorer, but
we've got two proven goal scorers in the Premier League. We've got Ollie Watkins.
We need both of them firing, though, don't we?
Yeah,
like you say, and it's just getting them both in and getting them able to play together.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that Ollie Watkins might get more joy playing off that left side.
That's how he played for Brentford, didn't he?
Yeah.
Or was he in the middle?
Well, there were three, weren't they? Brentford.
I'm trying to remember.
He played more central than the other two.
Right.
Wemmer and.
Ben Rama,
yeah. Ollie Watkins did play more through the middle, but he can play off that left side.
He can play
off the right side, but
I know when he was signed, Dean Smith made that point quite clear, didn't he?
Yeah.
But at that time, we didn't have another winger as such, did we? It was Trez and it was El Ghazi.
Yeah.
And it was a lottery over which one played, wasn't it?
I just think with Mings with that left foot, like I say,
maybe we'll get a bit of joy that way.
We don't always have to play it short. We can go long occasionally. Ollie, hold it up, but we do need to sort of get a style, and that's what Steven Gerrard's been brought in to do. I think he will. I think he'll come in and he'll go, this is the way I want you to play. This is defined roles for the players, and so it's not overcomplicated. I was talking to people before, we may have mentioned it on here, about maybe the players just got bored of hearing the same thing. For 3 years.
That was on the last one. Yeah.
We mentioned it, wasn't it? And maybe it was just a fresh voice. telling you something different or being more clear about what your role is expected of you. And it's like, all right, now I know what you want me to do now.
Yeah.
I just think
because Gerard has been there and he's done it at such a high level, I think he'll, and on that high performance podcast, he said, like, I've picked up bits from different managers, the bits I liked.
Yeah.
The bits I didn't, I don't use.
Yeah.
I talk to people how I've been spoken to, and it was just really, really insightful. So that's definitely a good watch.
I think it just.
I'm excited for Gerard to. I just can't believe he's 6 years older than me. It just doesn't feel right having a manager.
I just think
close in age.
The place would be rocking if we beat Brighton.
Oh my god! Yeah,
he will.
Wish I was there. Actually,
yeah,
I'll get him a COVID booster.
Yeah, great. He will be. You know, it'll just be idolised from that first game onwards, wouldn't it? It'll just be one of those.
I can see him now, like, fist bumping the hot end in my head. I'm like, if I visualise it, it'll happen.
And the fans all sort of singing Stevie G's Clarence Blue Army. That's what we want at the end of that game.
Is that what he's going to be known to us now, as, like, Stevie G? Is that it? It seems to be what everyone's calling him on social media, so we've got no choice.
It kind of fits, doesn't it? So
yeah. What do you think the score will be Saturday?
I'm going for quite comfortable 2-0 to Villa.
Oh, wow. Okay. I'm going to say 2-1 Villa because I just think that new manager vibe. But I do see Brighton getting a goal.
Yeah, they're tricky opponents. And we've come out on top of Villa in the last couple of seasons, I think. But they are a tricky side.
Yeah, I don't enjoy watching us play Brighton, but they're a good team to watch, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I just got a sneaky feeling that Steven Gerrard will get something out of this.
And then as of next week, he gets the full squad back in night.
And then I think it's Palace, isn't it? So it'd be nice then if we do beat Brighton. I think a bit of confidence then comes into the side
against Vieira,
and that'll be a really end-to-end game, but I could see us getting a point at Palace as well. And then I think we've got something like, have we got Man City, then Liverpool or something like
that? Yeah, I think so, but we'll deal with those when they happen. Man City will be first.
You've got to play them. At the end of the day, you've got to play them. And probably our season won't be defined on what happens at Man City and Liverpool, will it?
Yeah,
it'll be more likely the game after that, which I think is Norwich on a Tuesday night or something.
Are these games are now going to be on, like, Amazon and stuff? They're always on Amazon over Christmas, I think so. Aren't they? And they're packed in.
I've entered competition for the Norwich game, so hopefully win tickets.
That'd be good.
Yeah, I enjoy going to Norwich. And it'd be quite special that night, wouldn't it, for Villa fans to go and see Dean Smith at Norwich. But that'll be an important game, that one, Will. You know,
that could be a very important game, couldn't it?
Yeah.
We'll see. What did you make quickly of Mings's goal? Did you see him afterwards when
he lost a weird one. When I watched his header, conventional header, is it?
No. It came off one of his dreadlocks. Is that I think that was his actual conventional header,
but fair play to Tyrone Mings.
I was happy to see him get a goal. He looked so happy afterwards. Yeah. I was like, I really, really hope he doesn't lose his captaincy at Villa, because there's been a lot of stuff.
We probably should just touch on this. What do you think Steven Gerrard will do with captain, vice-captain's role? I personally think he'll stick with Mings and probably McGinn as vice-captain.
Yeah, why would you change it? Who would you... Unless you look at Martinez and think, right, he's an older head.
As vice-captain, though. Or...
No, I wouldn't swap Mings. I don't understand.
Steven Gerrard, centre of the park, had the captain's armband. I don't think he's going to move too far from having an outfield player as his captain.
Mings is the obvious choice for me.
Yeah.
I just don't see an alternative. If people want to sort of give us some suggestions or a reason why...
What have people been saying?
Mings gets a hard time on social media, whatever.
Mm.
The fan base on Twitter... Twitter's not the best sort of yardstick, but...
Yeah, I don't get involved with
it. This is why
I'm asking you.
It can be very negative. It's like, why does he get picked all the time? Conte's clearly better. The fact of the matter is, we don't have another Tyrone Mings. We don't have someone as back. Who are you going to put in? Tuan Zebe? Well, when that happens, he gets slated.
Yeah.
You're not going to put Courtney Hawes in because he clearly makes a couple of errors.
Yeah.
Tyrone Mings, over the course of his career at Villa, has done more good for us than he has bad.
Yeah.
And he's also been there through the bulk of all of Dean Smith's time.
Yeah.
If Grealish hadn't been there, Mings would have been captain.
Yeah, exactly.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I just think Gellert's
back.
I don't think
he'll move away from Mings and McGinn as vice captain.
No, I don't either.
Can't see any reason. Can't see anyone else that's a busting candidate to take it.
No.
So I think he'll stick with that.
I do. The only, like I say, the only outsider that I think would probably be if he went for Emi Martinez. I don't see any other option other than
no. That. No, there's no obvious candidate out there, is there?
No. So. No. Unless he really, 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 really rates like Danny Ings and thinks, oh yeah, you know, I've played with you before, but why would you do that?
I can't see that.
No. Should we briefly touch on Football Manager? Because I've been wanting to talk about it for the whole podcast. Just want to briefly touch on it. So, obviously, you're not on Twitter. Well, you are on Twitter, but you just don't interact at all.
I don't go on a lot of social media at all, which doesn't help with the podcast, probably, because I don't read what anyone's saying.
No, because it's probably the best way to be. But loads of accounts that I follow, a couple of, like the Claret & Boo podcast, which is like one of my fave Villa podcasts, they've started streaming them playing the game.
Oh, right.
And I was watching it, I was thinking, God, this looks so much fun. I thought, I'll just download it, see how much it is. And like 40 quid later, I'm like, okay, I'll play it. So obviously I had to take over as Villa manager, created my manager.
What's your manager's name?
His name's Tim Cantwell.
Tim Cantwell.
Because I thought it was kind of funny, like it's like Tim Sherwood, but Cantwell, as in he can't do it well. So yeah, I thought put him in. Started off quite well. Pre-season went pretty well. I thought, oh, all right, I've got the hang of this game. And then suddenly get into the Premier League and just went into free fall. Yesterday morning, I was 18th in the league. Wow. And the board were less than happy with my performance. Now, currently, obviously, when you came round tonight, we had a quick go, didn't we?
Yeah, it was actually the Norwich game.
The Norwich game. And we're now, where are we now? 11th?
No.
Eighth. We're now eighth in the league. So we could.
We leapfrogged Norwich.
That's it. Must win game. We also beat Man City as well yesterday, which was
most bizarre. Brilliant. Though your best player by far is Morgan Sanson.
Morgan Sanson,
ripping up the Premier League.
If anybody's got Football Manager 2022, get Morgan Sanson in. All our players are cautious formation as well. It's dull football. Our XG is pathetically low, but Danny Ings has got 11 goals. So if you play that game as if, like, say you sat there and went, well, this is how I'm going to play, and I'm going to play them because they've got these attributes. It means nothing on that game.
No.
It's literally like how you develop them, just play the same formation every week.
I think you've got to put the time into looking at it just
briefly.
I've
really trained them.
About training, you have to put the time in, the hard miles, and you have to praise or berate or whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
If you just keep clicking on, yeah, accept that, I think that's why you end up like down the bottom.
I literally looked at, and I don't want to give away my secrets, but not enough people listen to this really to.
I think you need to put the hard work in.
Well, where it said pros and cons on my individual players, I literally went into every single con and went, right, that's going into development. So I went up there, clicked on develop. You know, it said like Buendia's rubbish in the air. Obviously, he's like 5'4" or whatever. Yeah. Clicked on that, improved his aerial. And then it comes back and says, we feel like this isn't a weakness in his game. Once I start developing all that,
yeah,
the results were, we beat Palace, we beat City, we've beat Norwich. Yeah. Now we're eighth in the league. Five, 10 places just from developing my players.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So,
well, hopefully that's what Steven Gerrard does, develops the players we've got.
Yeah.
We start going up the table, which is,
it's a no-brainer. If it can be done on Football Manager, Steven Gerrard can do it at Aston Villa Football Club.
Well, he is a football manager, so.
There we go. So, yeah, that was it, really.
So it's as easy as that. We've got nothing to worry about. 3 points on Saturday and
bish-bash-bosh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Job done.
Right, thanks very much for listening.
Yeah, thanks,
we'll be back
after listening.
The Brighton game, hopefully with 3 points.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be. I'm absolutely positive it will be.
Brilliant. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.